Whatever God does, God needs a man. And I believe that in this house, God has a set person in this house by name, Pastor Peggy. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering for her life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And my prayer is that we all support her and all the other pastors. And one of the things I've realized is that no matter how anointed you are, you can't do it all by yourself. Amen. You cannot. You cannot. She can't lead the praises. After praises, take the offering. Then after the offering, she will go quickly there and count the money and come back and preach. You will die before your time. You need people. That is why God has brought you all, pastors, leadership around her, so that together we will fight a good fight of faith. Amen. And when we all get up yonder, the Lord will salute us. Well done. Amen. Mission accomplished. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a mighty clap of friend. Amen. I came with my daughter, my last child. Amen. Jovita. Amen. She just graduated from junior high. So as a reward or a treat, I just brought her here. Amen. And we were at Universal Studio. What is the name of this? That side where, that we were in? Islands of Adventure. And she was just having fun. There were some of the rides. You know, I'm a man of faith, but I looked at it and I said, this one. You know, there is this particular one. It shoots you up and then bring you down. I said, not this one. Amen. But she went on all those rides. We thank God. You know, this day is my very first day here, so I'll be very gentle, I'll be very nice, so that you can invite me again. Amen. But this morning, I want us to go into the Word of God, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16, and I'll be reading from verse number 13, Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, reading from verse number 13. Mine is the King James Version. Mine is the King James Version. And I read, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Somebody say, who do men say? Verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say you are Elias or Elijah, and others says you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus asked them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. I like this one. Thou art the Christ. Other translation says, you are Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or the plans of hell, or the intentions of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Somebody say keys. One more time. Keys. Of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man. Somebody say tell no man. That he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer. Somebody say suffer. One more time. Many things, not few, many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and even be killed. But on the third day he will rise. Hallelujah. Verse 20, then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, but Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man or if any woman will come after me, let him or her deny himself or herself and took up his or her cross and follow me. Father, we give you praise and we thank you for the reading of the Holy Scripture. We have gathered one more time in your presence. And I thank you, Almighty God, that where two or three have gathered in your name, you dwell amongst them. Therefore, Lord, we know you are among us this morning. Our prayer is that let your word never go and come back void. May it bring healing unto the sick, deliverance unto the bound, joy unto the brokenhearted. In the name of Jesus, let our faith be stirred up this morning to your glory and honor. I give you praise and I thank you in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. I like something about Jesus Christ. Verse 13. It's so interesting. The Bible declares that, can I have all of you, the musician, up here? All of you, just up here. Just up here. Thank you. Yes, yes, just up here. Just line up. Yes, yes. Good. Good. Can I have just some few more people to come join them? If you join them at the service, I'll give you $100. Just come and join them. Can I get some few? Good. Pastor Norm, join them. Jovita, join them. Good. I like something. Come on, come on. I like something about Jesus. The simplicity of Jesus. Jesus was with his disciples. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, and all of them. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, when they reached Caesarea Philippi, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, I am? Look at the way Jesus interacted with his disciples. I've come to realize that no matter how anointed you are, be simple. No matter how rich or educated you are, be simple. Because Jesus was a simple man. I say Jesus was a simple man. He interacted with his people, with his disciples. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, I am? Which means Jesus knew that people were talking about him. Can I suggest something to you? No matter how good you are, people will talk about you. No matter how bad you are, people will talk about you. Jesus knew they were talking about him. So he asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, I am? Then James said, Jesus, I heard people say that you are Elijah. Thank you, James. Then Andrew came forward and said, Jesus, I heard them saying that you are John the Baptist. Then all of a sudden, Peter came forward. Not Peter. Then all of a sudden, John came forward and said, Jesus, I heard them saying that you are Elijah. Then another one came forward and said, Jesus, I heard them saying that you are one of the prophets. So among the 12 disciples, they were hearing differently. Some heard people saying that you are John the Baptist. One heard people saying that you are Elijah. Another one heard people saying that you are Jeremiah the prophet. Another one heard people saying that you are just one of the prophets. Can I suggest something about you? No matter who you are, people have different opinion about you. They have different opinion. Some may say you are good. Some may say you are bad. Some may say you are this or that. But I've come to realize that it's not a matter of what people are saying about you. The most important thing is what the word of God is saying about you. A lot of times we worry ourselves as to what people are saying. Now look at all these people. They are in different sizes, different colors, different shape. It's so interesting. Somebody may say, I like somebody like this. I like a man. Where is the organist? He's gone out. Oh, okay. Somebody will say, I like somebody like this. You see, the organist is skinny and tall. Somebody will say, no, he's too skinny and tall. Somebody will also say, I like skinny guys. I like tall guys. Amen. Somebody may look at me and say, is that Reverend Bob Asari? Yes, he's too short. I don't like short people. Others will say, oh, that pastor is so cute. He's so cute. So people have different opinion. The most important thing is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Be who you are and enjoy who you are. Because do you know that opinion pools always changes? Today, they will hail you. Tomorrow, they will bring you down. Thank you, Peter, James, John, and Andrews and Bartholomew. Come on, give them a clap. Amen. Then Jesus says something very interesting. Then Jesus said that this is what people are saying about me. But what about you? Whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say my disciples that I am? In other words, I'm not moved by what unbelievers are saying. But what about my own fellow Christians? My own fellow believers. Whom do you say that I am? Then Bible declares that Simon Peter came forward and said, you are Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. I like this. In other words, you are not just Jesus. Jesus simply means the Messiah, the Savior. He said, you are Jesus, the Christ. The Christ means the anointed one. In other words, you are not just the Savior, but you have been anointed to be able to perform the messianic task. In other words, no matter what you are doing in life, there should be an anointing. You shouldn't just be a guitarist. You shouldn't be a guitarist. You shouldn't just be a singer, but may you be an anointed singer, an anointed guitarist. Whatever we are doing in life, we need the Christ factor, the anointing, to be able to perform the task that God has given us to do. I am a pastor. I shouldn't just be a pastor. I shouldn't just be a preacher. I should be an anointed preacher, an anointed pastor. Maybe you are a teacher. Maybe you are a hairdresser. You shouldn't just be a teacher, but an anointed teacher, an anointed nurse. You are Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah. Every revelation comes with blessing. Every revelation, he said, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee, but by my Father which is in heaven. In other words, Peter, you got this revelation from heaven. And because of this revelation, now you are blessed. Simon by Jonah simply means Simon, the son of Jonah. Simon means instability. So he said, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. And because of this revelation, you will no more be called Simon, instability, but now Peter, rock, you will be stabilized. Every revelation brings stability. And listen to me, church. May we not do things because others are doing it. May you do things because it has been revealed by God unto you. A lot of times we become copycat. We do things because others are doing. When you hear that somebody is doing this business and is becoming so successful, you think when you also do it, you become successful. No. My prayer is that may you be an originator. May you do it because God has revealed it unto you. This morning, can you just touch your eyes? Can you just touch your eyes? Say after me, Heavenly Father, I pray for the gift of revelation. I pray for the gift of discernment, the ability to discern what is of God and what is of man. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. He said, it has been revealed unto you by my Father. A lot of times we go into business because we think, oh, this business looks so good. But not all good businesses are godly businesses. Yeah, this idea is a good idea, but not all good ideas are godly ideas. That is why we need revelation from God. And my prayer this morning is that may you be sensitive unto the voice of God. This hath not been revealed unto thee by man. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Somebody say, the keys of the kingdom. And I like, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. I give you the keys. It means I give you the power. Whatever you lock shall be locked. Whatever you open shall be open. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind, loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. And a lot of times as Christians, we don't know the power God has given unto us. And we allow the enemy to terrify us. We allow the devil to terrify us. We have the power. It's in our hands. The keys of the kingdom. The power of the kingdom. And whatsoever we bind, this reminds me of this lady happens to be part of our at that time we're just a prayer group, just praying. This woman was born a Muslim, married a Muslim, and in fact, her husband has been to Mecca, and normally when they go to Mecca and perform certain rituals, they are given a title they call Al-Hajj. Al-Hajj. So he was like an Al-Hajj, which means he's been to Mecca. He's up there. And for some strange reason, this woman became born again, spirit-filled, water-baptized, tongue-talking, on fire for the Lord. At that time, the husband has traveled. So when the husband came back, other Muslims in the area told the husband that, you know what, your wife has not been coming to the mosque. Now she's joined this prayer group. They've been praying. She's been going to church on and on. The husband was so angry. The husband, threatened to divorce her. And this woman looked straight into the husband's eyes and said, honey, you know what? I love you. I will be with you forever. But if because of my love for Jesus, you want to divorce me, I want you to know that the cross before me, the world behind me, and no turning back. And no turning back. The husband became so mad. At the end of the year, they were having a family reunion in the northern part of our country. And the northern part of our country is predominantly Muslims. So they went. This lady I'm talking about, her father was a chief imam. A chief imam is like an archbishop. And her uncle was an imam. Imam is like a bishop in the Islamic religion. So when they went to the family reunion in the northern part of my country, nobody wants to talk to her because she's now a Christian. They call them infidel. Nobody wants to have anything to do with her. And in the Islamic religion, when you come out of it and you don't take care, your own family members can even kill you. They call it holy killing. They can even kill you. Here was the woman in the room because nobody wants to do anything with her. All her family members have forsaken her. According to her, she was just in the room praying. On the third day, she heard people screaming in the main yard. In their main compound, they had a mosque right there where people in the neighborhood come and worship Allah right there. She heard people screaming. She came out of it. And she saw her uncle, the imam, lying on the floor, dead. And the northern part of our country is one of the most impoverished area. 911 doesn't work there. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And all the other Muslims around, they were all crying. So this lady by name Dora went there and said, "Uncle, brothers, can I pray for my dead uncle?" They started mocking her. "How good will it be? The man is dead." I said, "Yes, but I want to pray for my uncle." She knelt down, knowing that she has the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever she binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever she loses shall be loosed on earth. She said, "Lord, that they may know that I serve the resurrected Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I call your spirit back. Let life come into him." His uncle opened his eyes, asked for water to drink, asked what happened. They told him what happened. Do you know what the uncle did? The uncle, the chief imam, when he came back from life, he took the Bible out of Dora's hand and began preaching in the Islamic area that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is Lord. Come on, give him praise. That Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is Lord. I give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Years ago, three of us pastors, myself, another pastor, and our senior pastor, were in the house around 12 midnight. We're just talking, you know, sharing scripture here and there. Then we heard a knock on our door. Pam, 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 pam. Who is that? We opened the door. Our bass guitarist by name Francis, they brought him in a taxi, lay him on the floor, dead. Before he gave up the ghosts, he whispered, "Take me to the pastor's house." He put the dead body in the taxi, drove to our house. It was in the midnight. The mother, unbeliever, crying. Brothers, unbelievers, crying. Neighbors who came along, all of them crying. He asked them to bring the body inside. Laid on the floor. Everybody was crying. He said, "You know what? Go outside. All of you go outside. I believe in tears, but I hate the tears of unbelief. Unbelief will hinder the move of God." Yeah. Sometimes we shed tears during worship, but these are tears of joy when you remember what the Lord has done. When you remember that if it has not been for the Lord on my side, where would I have been? If you remember the grace and the mercies of God, sometimes during worship we shed tears. I like those kind of tears. They are tears of joy. But tears of unbelief, I hate it. We asked them to go outside. We knelt down and we began praying that Father, Francis cannot come to heaven now. He's the bass guitarist. When he goes, who will play the bass guitar in the church? He has to come back. We close the heavens because we know that when his spirit gets to heaven, he wouldn't like to come back. We close the heavens and we pray in the name of Jesus, life back into Francis. After about 15, 20 minutes of praying, he opened his eyes and he said, "I want to go to the restroom." He went to the restroom and guess what? Not knowing that he was poisoned. And all the poison came out. When the mother, the brothers, the sisters, all the neighbors, unbelievers, when they saw the miracle, they gave their life to Jesus. I believe in miracles. I say I believe in miracles. Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, was yesterday the miracle worker, today the miracle worker, and forever he will be the miracle worker. Come on, give him praise, somebody. Hallelujah. And I give you the keys of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose shall be loosed. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus. Tell no one. Why? Why tell no one? Because at that time, they were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting the Messiah. Jeremiah prophesied about him. Isaiah prophesied about him. Malachi prophesied about him. All the prophets prophesied about the coming Messiah. And here you are. And you say, "I shouldn't tell anybody that the Messiah has..." I don't understand it. I don't get it. Just imagine As I'm preaching now, then all of a sudden we hear the police siren. Wow, wow. Door opens. See policemen coming here. Secret agents all around. What is happening? Then all of a sudden, President Obama walks in and said, Reverend Bob Asare, I heard you are in town and I want you to pray for me. Wow. The American president, and you tell me, I should tell no one. Do you know the first thing I would do? Can you call CNN? Can you call BBC? Can you call Fox TV? All the newspapers, New York Times, Chicago, is it Tribune? All of them, let them come. I will wait. All the media should be around. And I will take my time. Before I will lay my hand, I'll make sure that all the cameras are rolling. Before I lay my hand and pray for him. Do you know what will happen within the next hour? Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. Reverend Bob Asare from Ghana prays for the American president. I will be popular overnight. But listen to me. When men promote you, men will bring you down. When men promote you, men will bring you down. When you promote yourself, you will destroy yourself. But when God promotes you, no one can bring you down. No one can bring you down. Am I talking to somebody? So, listen. So it's unethical to go around blowing your horn. Don't blow your horn. Jesus said, why? Because my time is not yet. My time is not yet. A lot of time, the enemy we are fighting is not the devil out there. It's this thing. This thing, you talk too much. I say you talk too much. Zip your lips and talk to God. Take your request to God in prayer. Hey, talk to him. You go from house to house. Do you know what? Tell this one about your problem. You've told this one about your problem. You told this one. Everybody knows about your problem except God. Stop talking to man and go to God. Am I talking to somebody? Tell no one that I am Jesus, the Christ. Because Jesus knew that if the people get to know Elijah, they will kill him before his time. Before his time. And a lot of times, God gives us good ideas. But we go around telling people, and by the time we are aware, they have already destroyed our plans. From today, let's be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. In life, you should always know who is your Elizabeth. Mary knew his Elizabeth. Who is your Jethro? Moses knew his Jethro. Who is your Nathan? David knew his Nathan. If you are to share with somebody, should it be somebody that will be praying with you? In life, listen to me. Anybody who cannot celebrate your success is dangerous. Anybody who cannot celebrate your success is dangerous. Am I talking to somebody? Some people come around us because of what they will get. But I need people who will help me up. May Jehovah bring you helpers. People like Jonathan who can declare that I know I am supposed to be the next king of Israel, but David, I know that anointing is on you. You go ahead. I need people like John the Baptist who consider that I may decrease and you will increase. This should be our real friends. And Bible declares that. Then Jesus said, there is the need for me to suffer many things of the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him, saying, Lord, be it far from thee. But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him or her deny himself or herself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus began telling his disciples the need for him to suffer many things and even be killed. But on the third day, he will rise again. Then Peter took Jesus aside and said, No. Stop that confession. Stop that confession. That is negative confession. You are not going to die. You are not going to suffer. On and on. But Jesus turned and rebuked him. Said, get behind me, Satan. There is another voice speaking through you. And that is the voice of the devil. Why? Because Peter was being selfish. He just brought out the revelation that you are the Christ. In other words, you will be the next president. Don't talk about dying. If you become the president, I, Peter, will be the vice president. If you die too soon, I won't get my position. Do you remember Peter asking Jesus, we have forgotten everything. We have left everything and we are following you. What will we get? So whilst following Jesus, he was another mind what he will get. But listen to me. We are not serving Jesus because of what we will get. We are serving him because of who he is. I say because of who he is. Am I talking to somebody? The need for me to suffer. I'm a faith preacher. I preach faith. I preach love. I preach prosperity. But can I tell you something? Suffering is part of our Christian journey. So the need for me to suffer many things. I will even be crucified. But on the third day, I will rise. If somebody tells you that the moment you become a Christian, born again, water baptized, spirit filled, tongue talking, tight pain, the moment you become a Christian, all your sufferings has come to an end, the person is telling you lies from the pit of hell. Because the moment you become a Christian, you are enlisted in the army of God. And Bible declares that for the weapons of our warfare, warfare means continuous fighting. But unto God be the glory that we have weapons. Yes. I say we have weapons. Yes. The blood of Jesus is a weapon. The word of God is a weapon. The love of Christ is a weapon. We have weapons. We have weapons. And weapons are meant for war. Amen. The need for me to suffer many things. Every true Christian, every great man of God, every great woman of God has gone through suffering. Every great man of God. All through the word of God. You go through the word of God. Moses has to go to the backside of the desert. Joseph was sold by his own brethren. Jesus Christ has to be crucified. David has to be living in the caves. Go through the word of God. Every great man of God, every great woman of God went through the trying times of their faith. If you were a real general, show me your bullet wounds. And I will follow you. Every general has been to war. I would prefer to follow a sergeant who has been to war and has come back alive than to follow a general who has never been to war. Amen. Where are your scars? What have you been through? The need for me to suffer many things. But I thank God that he said, but on the third day, in other words, no matter what the devil does, victory is on our side. I say victory is on our side. And this morning, you know, sometimes when we come to the house of God, we fake things. Sometimes when we come to the house of God, hi, how are you doing? Fine. But you know that you know that you know that things are not fine. Sometimes we smile, not because we want to smile, just want to be nice. Behind the facial makeups, behind your hairstyle, behind all your ties and all our suit and dresses, behind it are tears, pain. But sometimes we don't know who to talk to. And as I'm preaching now, I believe that there are people here who are going through the trying times of their faith. But listen to me. Hold on. I say, hold on. Your miracle is just around the corner. Say, your miracle is just around the corner. Anytime it seems as if the pain is too intense, it means a miracle is yet about to be born. Have you seen women when they are pregnant? It's not comfortable. Their body stretches. Sometimes their nose enlarges. Their lips become big. Even they have to change the clothes they wear because they become so big. And they can't wear all the tight dresses again. Anytime you are pregnant with a vision, your dressing will all even be changed. You put on the garment of praise. When women are pregnant, even the way they walk, it will change. Before they become pregnant, you see them walking like this. But the moment they become pregnant, even the way they walk will change. When they are coming, it will change. It will change. Am I talking to somebody? At the 9th month, when the baby is about to come, that is where the labor pain becomes so intense. And whilst you are going through that pain, a nurse will come around and try to comfort you. That is not over. Very soon, all will be over. Come on, push. Maybe this morning, the Lord has brought me here as a nurse just to comfort you. Just to stir up your faith that very soon the miracle will come. And finally, when the baby is about to come, then the nurse will say, you know what? Push. 1, 2, 3. Mm. 1, 2, 3. Mm. 1, 2, 3. Mm. This morning, I want you to push. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Just push. Your miracle is just around the corner. I say your breakthrough is just around the corner. And this morning, I want to pray for people who are going through the trying times of their faith. A lot of times, we don't know who to share our problems with. But when we come to the house of God, this place is like the intensive care unit of a hospital. This is where the greatest physician works on us. I say he will work on us. The need for me to go through many things and even be crucified, but on the 3rd day, I will rise again. Then Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him or her take up his cross. The cross is a symbol of pain. The cross is a symbol of suffering. When everything is going on well, it's easy to worship. It's easy to sing. But what about when you are going through the trying times of your faith? And I believe there are people here who go to bed and shed tears from one corner of their eye through their nose bridge and soak their pillows with tears. But this morning, the Lord is in the house. May He turn your mourning into dancing. May the Lord Almighty rewrite your history. May you be a testimony to many who will see you and ask, how were you able to make it? Then you say, this is the doing of the Lord. I pray the blessings of Jehovah upon your life. Like Jesus on the cross, he was suffering, yet he was preaching love. While he was going through his suffering, he looked down and said, Mother, behold thy daughter. Daughter, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He was preaching love. A lot of time when people are going through the trying times of their faith, they don't even come to church. But like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. This is the solution center. And this morning, may Jehovah solve your problem. May he answer your prayer. May you have a testimony in Jesus' name. Jesus on the cross, while he was suffering, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Listen to me. Forgive anybody who has caused you pain. Forgiveness will open the windows of heaven for Jehovah to share his blessings upon your life. And this morning, whatever head bowed, let's bow down our heads. If you are here And you know that you know that you are going through the trying times of your faith. You know that you need the touch of God. You know that you know that unless the Lord build, you will build but in vain. You know that you need a touch of God. Whatever head bow, I want you to meet me right here. Take up a step of faith. Come on, I want you to meet me right here. And I want us to share a word of prayer. I want you to meet me right here. I want you to meet me right here. I want you to remember that Christianity is an individual affair. You are not here because of anybody. You are here because of Jesus. You are not coming unto any man, but you are coming unto Jesus. That this morning, the Lord will touch you. The Lord will bring deliverance. The Lord will bring healing. The Lord will bring restoration in the name of Jesus. Church, all is not lost. All is not lost. All is not lost. Even if you blew it, He is the God of the second chance. May the Lord give you another opportunity this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you all up here lift up your hands? And you are lifting these hands, number one, as a sign of surrender. You are surrendering all those problems unto God. Number two, you are lifting these hands as a sign of expecting to receive something from the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I surrender all these problems unto you. Say, I lift my hands in expectation to receive your touch now. I want you in the next 2 minutes, talk to God about that problem. Come on, talk to God about it. What do you want God to do for you? Come on, talk to God. Is it healing? Talk to God. Is it deliverance? Talk to God. Is it a job opportunity? Is it a family problem? Come on, talk to God. Before I pray for you, Father, I give you glory. Father, I give you praise. Father, I magnify thy holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I take authority over any works of the devil. I take authority over any battles, any struggling that these precious ones are going through, whether in their families, in their health, in their finances, in their jobs, in any area of their lives. I declare the blood of Jesus against the enemy. Now, in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise that by the laying on of hands, the sick shall be healed. Let these hands be the extension of your hands. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive ye the touch of the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, let every burden be lifted. In the mighty name of Jesus, let every yoke be destroyed. Now, loose your ugly hand of God's child. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the healing power move through this body. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, receive ye the touch of the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise. Let every struggle end this morning. Let every battle end in their favor. In the mighty name of Jesus. Mayando robabo shakabaya. Receive ye the touch of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the sole of your body. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Mandarababo ziyande mashakabaya. In the mighty name of Jesus. Spirit divine, breathe afresh upon her. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray now the touch of the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, Spirit of the living God, touch thou your servant. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we exalt thy holy name. We give you praise. that it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Thank you, the Lord, some praise. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful unto you. Can we all stand up as I pray? Can we all be upstanding as I pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, lift up your hands unto heaven. Everybody, lift up your hands unto heaven. Father, we lift our hands not unto any man, but unto you. For we will lift up our eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh our help in this house. Jehovah, may you meet everybody at the point of their needs in the name of Jesus. I pray that this week will be a week of testimonies to your glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen. One more time. One more time. May the Lord Almighty bless you. May the hand of Jehovah rest upon you. May the Lord God Almighty turn all your tears into joy to his glory and honor. May this week be a week of testimony. In the name of Jesus, may it be well with you. In Jesus' name. I love you all.